You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.
Hello and welcome everybody. You've got me, Ahalya, keeping you company on a brand new episode of PGIM India Insights brought to you by PGIM India Asset Management. Now, as you know, in this series, investment experts from PGIM India Mutual Fund share their perspectives on the most pressing issues impacting global and domestic markets and how you can prepare your portfolio to benefit from these opportunities across markets. Today, we've got lined up a very interesting conversation yet again, courtesy of Rakesh Pillai from PGIM India Mutual Fund, who's going to be chatting with Puneet Pal, Head Fixed Income, PGIM India Mutual Fund. So without further ado, let's dive into this one. Over to you, Rakesh and Puneet.
Thank you, Ahalya. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the PGIM India Insights podcast. Hello, Puneet. How are you?
Hi, Rakesh. I'm fine.
Fantastic. We have a great session ahead. And, you know, I have a few questions that I would like to put forward to you. And I'm sure that our audiences would love to hear your perspectives as well. So let us just dive straight in. Let me get to the first question. In fixed income, sure. You know, they say that return of capital prevails over return on capital. This sort of, you know, ties in very well with the PGIM philosophy of protect capital and grow income. Could you throw some light on the PGIM India fixed income philosophy?
Sure, Rakesh. I think you put it quite aptly that when it comes to fixed income investing, return of capital is more important than return on capital. And our fixed income philosophy at PGIM India Mutual Fund revolves around this thesis only. Debt investors do not like surprises and volatility. And our investment philosophy underlines that fact of safety first and downside protection at all times. We focus on fundamental analysis and follow a relative value framework for asset allocation and security selection, while at the same time emphasizing on risk management and diversification. We have a very robust system of internal ratings, I will say internal credit ratings, which is based on an in-house financial ratio analysis model. And we look to generate alpha through our duration calls while being conservative on credit selection, where we ensure downside protection. So I think this sums up our investment philosophy, which clearly states that we will look to protect downside at all points of time.
Wonderful. You know, when you say safety first, that I'm sure is a lot assuring. I did hear you mentioning about this internal credit rating mechanism that we follow at the fixed income desk. Would you like to elaborate a little on that entire mechanism of internal rating so that, you know, that can put some light on, you know, how we go about with the security selection as well?
Sure, Rakesh. I'll explain you our internal rating mechanism. And I will also take you through our fixed income investment process. So in our credit process, we have a mechanism of internal ratings, which we arrive through a very comprehensive process of in-house proprietary ratio analysis-based research model. We have defined our entire fixed income universe into three distinct verticals, namely manufacturing, banks, and NBFCs. We have different ratio analysis model for each of these three verticals, so different ratios for each of these three verticals. Every issuer gets a score basis the model, and that score in turn will correspond to an internal rating. So once the internal rating of a particular company or issuer is finalized, we compare that rating to the respective lowest external rating, and then we take the lower of the internal or the external ratings as our effective rating. So we have an internal rating mechanism both on an individual as well as on a group basis. So in a nutshell, this is how we arrive at our internal ratings. I think we are quite conservative on credits, and we have very robust and comprehensive credit evaluation framework. Now, coming to our fixed income investment process, we focus on active duration management to generate alpha in our portfolios. And our approach is to track macroeconomic variables both domestically as well as internationally. The portfolio construction process involves both top-down as well as bottom-up approach. The top-down approach involves research on macroeconomic variables and credit research, both in terms of sectors and segment, while the bottom-up approach involves individual company analysis, along with some curve-based analysis like spread or security or instrument analysis. So that, in nutshell, will define our investment process. Also, to highlight the fact that PGIM conducts a monthly global CIO call, which is attended by PGIM representatives across the globe, which gives us insights to their respective market developments and views spread across markets and regions.
Wonderful. So, you know, the fact that PGIM has a very, very strong internal credit rating mechanism coupled with an equally robust process, I'm sure gives a lot of confidence to the audience who are listening. And, you know, the fact that there is a lot of work that goes behind, you know, selecting a security and as well as constructing the portfolio. When we talk of fixed income, you know, the two most important pillars of the fixed income asset class hovers around interest rates and inflation. And I'm sure, you know, you have your own views on it. So while the interest rates around the globe are still continuing to remain elevated, what are your views on the rate trajectory, both domestically and internationally?
Yeah, Rakesh, you are right that currently inflation and interest rates are in focus globally. So what we believe is that we are in the last phase of the global monetary tightening, or I will say global monetary policy tightening, which began last year. And majority of the central banks will be in pause mode from October onwards. And one of the distinct features of the current tightening cycle has been the divergent paths taken by the developing or emerging market central banks as compared to the developed market central banks. For example, one of the key emerging market countries like Brazil, which was one of the first countries to start hiking rates way back in 2021, has just cut its policy rate by 50 basis, which was more than the expected 25 basis rate cut. And they have indicated further rate cuts going ahead. China is facing a specter where both CPI and PPI inflation will be negative. So they are facing a situation of deflation along with growth challenges. And in contrast, if we see ECB and Bank of England will still be continuing to hike rates further in this quarter, while the Bank of Japan is looking to gradually exit from its yield curve control policy. So that kind of dichotomy is prevalent globally. And we should be cognizant of that fact. In the Indian context also, we have seen the narrowing of interest rate differentials by developed markets, especially with US, as our macroeconomic fundamentals are on a much firmer footing. We think that RBI will be on a long pause, given the uncertainty surrounding food inflation. So overall, we think that RBI domestically will be on a long pause. Globally, also central banks will be on a long pause. Growth is holding up pretty good. And we think RBI will not cut rates till the developed market central banks have effectively addressed the challenge of inflation. On rate cuts, we believe that rate cuts will start from 2024 onwards. And as such, we expect the duration funds to do pretty well. The OIS curve currently, if you look in India, is pricing in rate cuts in the second quarter of FY24. And we believe it's a fair assumption. So investors, to our mind, should take advantage of the current yield curve or the current yields. And if there is any rise in yields, to increase the exposure to duration funds, which we think will do pretty well over the next 2 years.
So given the current context, and, you know, you were just mentioning that the RBI, you know, might be in for a long pause. If I were to sort of just plot the PGIM fixed income product bucket, you know, and sort of put them on a timeline of 1 to 5 years, Puneet, where would you sort of put, you know, different products across these timelines, and, you know, how would you sort of position, you know, each of these in the different segments?
Yeah, Rakesh. So before I touch upon the different products which PGIM has in its bouquet of offerings, let me just touch upon the recent tax changes, which might have led to some investors having some questions or queries on how should they invest or whether they should invest in debt mutual funds. So I will say that debt mutual funds continue to offer advantages over traditional saving instruments like bank FDs. The most obvious benefit is one of deferment, as the tax liability comes in the case of debt mutual funds at the time of redemption only, and not every year as is the case with bank FDs. Thus, your invested money or the investor's invested money compounds for a longer period of time in a debt mutual fund. Debt mutual funds also offer more flexibility in terms of the timing of investments and redemptions. Like, there is no lock-ins in majority of the products. Also, the fact that debt mutual fund portfolios are aligned with market yields on a daily basis. So in case of any rise in yields, debt mutual funds tend to capture that very, very fast, almost on a daily basis, which is not the case with the yields offered by traditional saving instruments, which can be quite slow to align themselves with market yields, especially when the rates are going up. So to our mind, an investor should continue to invest in debt mutual funds according to his risk appetite within one's overall asset allocation. And coming to your specific query on the products, then I will say that money market oriented funds, which are having a duration up to 1 year, are good investment vehicles from an investment perspective of 12 to 18 months. Corporate bond funds and dynamic bond funds can be considered if the investment horizon of the investor is more than 18 to 24 months. So overall, we believe that debt mutual funds still score over traditional saving vehicles. And the market right now is giving a good opportunity for the fixed income investors to stay invested and increase the investment in fixed income. Again, touching upon some of the key regulatory measures, especially on the risk side, which the regulator has announced over the last I will say 12 to 18 months, which again goes a long way in increasing the transparency of mutual funds, especially debt mutual funds, and mitigating the risk for the investor. So I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes on that also. I mean, we have seen the regulator being quite proactive in announcing measures to address concerns of risk in debt mutual fund portfolios. I'll just give you some examples like the introduction of riskometer, which signifies the scheme's risk on a particular day, classification of debt schemes according to the potential risk class or the PRC metrics. This signifies the maximum risk a scheme can take, both in terms of credit as well as duration. So these measures have gone a long way in creating more transparency and making investors aware of the risk. So likewise, if we look at the mandatory stress testing of debt mutual fund portfolios or schemes, enabling of the swing pricing mechanism at times of market dislocation, and the very recent announcement of creating a corporate debt market development fund, which ensures that the risk gets mitigated to a large extent. Thus, we believe that from a risk perspective also, investors don't need to worry too much. I think a lot of risk mitigation measures have been put in place, and transparency also has increased quite a lot over the last few years. So at PGIM also, we have a very robust system of risk management. We have internal limits and we stay true to the positioning of the respective schemes. And just to highlight one point that we are disclosing our portfolios of our money market oriented schemes like liquid, ultra short term money market fund and low duration fund on a daily basis, just as a step towards creating more transparency to the investors.
Absolutely. Transparency is the name of the game. And, you know, when it comes to fixed income, as you rightly put it, I think transmission of rates happen also in a very seamless manner when it comes to, you know, fixed income based mutual funds, unlike, you know, very traditional instruments. So I'm sure that should be another important factor, you know, that would definitely have clients, you know, moving slowly and steadily towards fixed income based, you know, products as well. Finally, you know, the last question, you know, obviously can't leave you without asking about inflation. So what are your expectations from the RBI and on the inflation bit? Do you think that the current inflation, while, you know, it has given some respite, maybe on a temporary basis, will it still have a possibility of bouncing back? I just wanted to hear your views on the same, Puneet.
Yeah, sure, Rakesh. So as I said, we expect RBI to be on a long pause, given the uncertainties on inflation, especially food inflation. We also seen some uptick on in crude prices. So RBI is likely to be quite watchful and remain on hold, while sounding hawkish in our view. And there is a segment in the market because as growth is holding up quite well and inflation is also going to be 6% over the next couple of months, there is a minority view in the market or a small segment in the market which believes that if commodity prices rise further from the current levels or stay elevated, then RBI might hike also. But we are not in that camp. We believe that the current high domestic inflation is temporary. It's mainly led by higher vegetable prices, and core inflation will remain stable around 5%. So we have seen a re-acceleration of the core inflation over the last couple of months, and we expect core inflation to remain around 5%. So we think RBI will be on a long pause. Now, if we look at globally, there are renewed concerns on food and commodity inflation, given the geopolitical backdrop. But inflation is likely to continue to moderate. It has already moderated. It will continue to moderate. And we think that inflation in the developed markets will moderate further. But on an average, it will stay higher than what we have seen over the last decade. So we had seen last decade where in Europe and elsewhere, we had seen negative rates and ultra low rates. So from that perspective, probably we'll see both inflation and rates to be on the higher side from a relative perspective. And from a structural point of view, I think one thing is quite clear that we are not going back to those ultra low or negative rates in developed economies that we have seen in the last 10 to 15 years. But having said that, we think 2024 or next year, we will see rate cuts as the aggressive rate hikes done so far start to have its impact on the economies globally, especially on the developed economies. So we do believe that there will be rate cuts, there will be slowdown in economies as monetary tightening works with a lag. So next year probably is going to be a good year for fixed income investors.
Sure, Puneet. I think as you rightly put it, you know, somewhere during the call, you also mentioned about the fact that Brazil being one of the earliest markets to start with the rate hike cycle has also been one of the first to, you know, start the trend of reversal. Wonderful. Correct. So, if we, since we are coming to the end of this podcast, you know, if I were to sort of summarize all the points that we sort of, you know, touched upon, one is that, you know, globally also, we might, you know, if from an inflation point of view, clearly, we don't see, you know, inflation sort of going back to those levels, which are available probably a decade ago. That's one important takeaway. Another important takeaway is that in India, core inflation will continue to remain stable. And probably the central government, the Central Bank of India will probably be on a long pause, you know, before there is any sign of reversal in trends. So I think these are some important points. Also, some of the other aspects that you covered, very, very useful, especially in terms of the robust fixed income philosophy and the process that we follow, including the internal credit rating mechanism. I think that's something which is of important significance. And of course, the last part of it, which is that, you know, all the short maturity portfolios, you know, are disclosed by PGIM on a daily basis on the website. I'm sure gives a lot of confidence when it comes to clients taking a look at what's available, you know, with us from an investment point of view. Wonderful. Puneet, thank you so much for taking time out, and we look forward to connecting sometime soon again to hear your views further.
Thanks. Thanks, Akesh, for having me here.
Well, I think that was a very insightful conversation indeed. Puneet was very comprehensive with his insights, wasn't he? And some great thoughts tabled as well. I think it's good to know how we at PGIM tend to tackle these kinds of macroeconomic trends and issues to also protect, as Rakesh and Puneet said, our capital and our growth as well. I hope you enjoyed this episode of PGIM India Insights, folks. We will be back with another one shortly. But in the meantime, stay safe, stay happy. And while you continue your investment journey, make sure to seek guidance from your trusted financial advisors to make sure that you are maximizing the potential of your own personal investment journey, because it does look a little bit different for each and every one of us. Catch you on the next one. Adios.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.
You're listening to the PGIM India Insights podcast series by PGIM India Asset Management.